KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
And good afternoon. Welcome in to the Power Forge Studios, Faith Family Ford Power Forge. Jim Williams in studio with you. We've got a special guest with us today, and you're going to enjoy talking with her. She has just written a brand new book called King Here, which is a neat description about her life growing up with an interesting man, Chuck King, her dad. And I think you're going to be blessed by meeting Trish today. Trish Porter Topmiller, she's on the phone with us. Trish, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, and I know you're up in Colorado Springs. Want to let our listeners know that your daughter Shannon faced with a little challenge in her life, I guess an ankle injury skating. I hope that's all turning out okay.
Yes, she broke her ankle pretty badly. And actually, she's at the doctor's right now, and I had to sneak out, so I don't know the final results. There's a very strong chance she'll end up having surgery in the next day or two, I think. So please pray for her.
We sure will. We will definitely do that, and we appreciate your graciousness in joining this, especially while you're having this challenge in your life. Trish is a former Olympic athlete, lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, competed in the high jump in the Olympics. She set several records as an older athlete in age group competition, and she's got an amazing story. Trish, I know this from reading your book, that your dad was, he was a relentless guy. He was high energy. He was doing all kinds of different things. In fact, I'm going to read just the first sentence of your introduction to this. To all those who knew Chuck King, the dad, grandfather, entrepreneur, workaholic, giver, adventurer, adrenaline junkie, and opioid statistic, this is for those who didn't know the final story of how he met an angel, changed, and finished his life worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you the same relentless daughter, sister, athlete, wife, and mom that you describe in your book about your dad?
Oh, that it so makes me laugh. I haven't thought of being described as that word relentless, but I think it is pretty accurate. And if you ask those around me, they'll say yes. And it has its advantages. It can be really good as far as an Olympian. I was relentless in my pursuit of excellence and my pursuit of my sport, and it served me well. So many times it serves me well. There are times, though, where it does not. It can hinder. But I'm also, I have called myself kind of relentless with God, where I go to him and I go to him and I go to him maybe about the same issues. And I'm sure he's up there going, okay, Trish, really, I heard you on the first time. But I continue to say, Lord, Lord, you know, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for this. So I think sometimes he just says, okay, fine. Just like a dad, you wear him out and you say, fine, you could have it.
Well, and that's how you've accomplished so much in your life. And I think that's really a spiritual gift as well. And it's a special energy. And I know a lot of athletes that have that same kind of attitude about life. They're not going to be blocked. They're not going to be stopped. And they are going to go for it no matter what it is. Tell us who Chuck King is and why you decided to share his story with us.
Wow, Chuck, you know, my dad was very different. He was an incredible man. And he was kind of, when I was young, I was like most girls, where he was my hero for a very long time. He was a self-made entrepreneur, multimillionaire in the real estate and then eventually venture capital and then through investments. One of the things that was really special about him is he loved outrageous adventures, things that are really different. And then he loved taking people on these adventures and seeing, their smile on their face when they have that first time experience. So for an example, he took a date one time, flew them on a private plane to Los Angeles, and then they had dinner on the blimp as they were going over the night lights of Los Angeles.
Wow.
So I thought he got a lot of date points on that one. I thought it was pretty spectacular. He loved a hot air balloon. He did a gas hot air balloon race, the biggest one in the country, and did not do very well, unfortunately. Then he also took the Concorde supersonic jet around the world in 26 days. So he had a lot of crazy experiences, but he may have been a multimillionaire, but he wasn't about money and things. So he didn't have a lot of stuff, and he wasn't striving to get more things. He really liked the high of the challenge of making more money and earning more money. So I thought that was kind of a unique feature with him.
Sounds like he had fun. He had a lot of fun in life.
Oh, yeah, he did. He really did. He was crazy. He had a silly spirit. He took a photo of one of my nephews, and when he was learning the computer, and he morphed it where he looked like this really bad biker dude with a headband and black nails and spikes. And then my nephew, who was 6 months old, he looked like Bam Bam, you know, and he just kind of morphed the whole thing, and he thought it was super funny, and it was. It was great. And, he had a tea party for his granddaughters, and he hired Alice in Wonderland to come and dress up and play the part, and did a whole Alice in Wonderland tea party with the Mad Hatter and Alice. So he had a great sense of humor, and he was super fun, very active. He was a competitive gymnast when he was young and won state championships in high school for Illinois. He liked to play tennis and go water skiing and go snow skiing, and he climbed the Matterhorn. Almost didn't make it because he didn't bring the right clothes. So
kind of felt he was indestructible, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great word for him. He really thought he was indestructible. He thought he could do anything. He thought he could achieve anything. And really had, you know, a kind of a God complex where, you know, he even looked at me and said, you know, I have more money than God. And if I lost half of it, I would still be fine.
Nice.
So he really had no need for God. That was the other piece of this puzzle, was that he had no need for God. And then for me, why did I want to share it? So it was kind of interesting when I looked at his life as a whole, and looked back at his life as a whole, I could see clearly his life as a kind of a puzzle, and how all the pieces fit together to make the picture of his life, kind of the puzzle box top, he had all these tragic events, later in his life that everybody, he would look at and you'd say, oh my, these are terrible. But God was really using those for good.
Mm-hmm.
And when at his funeral, really the outline came for the book. And then after that, I didn't plan on sharing it. It was really made for my family. And when I contacted a publisher friend of mine and I sent him my one-page sheet on it, he said to me, he emailed me back and said, no, this story is for more than your family. You need to tell other people.
Very nice.
And I was really surprised. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Well, we're going to talk, Trish, we're going to talk more about your book here in just a second. We're going to take a break here on KNKT. Jim Williams on the phone with Trish Porter Topmiller, the author of King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. We'll have more with Trish right after these messages.
Duke City Ready Mix is all about quality on every load and delivering that quality when we say we will, equating it to the best service in the valley. Our goal is to enhance our communities with self-sustaining families through employment at Duke City and giving back to the communities who have given so much to us. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community. The premier concrete, sand, and gravel company in the valley. Contact us at 877-5777 or at QualityMattersHere.com.
You found your forever girl, and for the first time, Proverbs 31 makes complete sense. She truly is worth more than rubies. Let John Thomas Jewelers help you find the perfect engagement ring. We have over 2,000 rings in stock to see and try on, the ability to custom make any ring you can dream of, and prices you thought you'd only find online. John Thomas Jewelers at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard on the third floor of the Lewis University Building. Stop in and let us know you're a fellow KNKT listener.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
If you're doing a presentation, you want to make sure that you're moving but not pacing. A lot of times speakers will pace. They look like a lion in a cage. What you want to do is you want to move. What I like to do is I like to make sure I'm talking to everybody in the room. So I'll plant in the middle. I'll take a few steps. I'll talk to people on the side. I'll go back, plant in the middle, go to the other side, stop. And you want to make sure you're making eye contact. That way everyone in the room feels like you're talking just to them. You want to make your hands work for you and not against you. A good thing to do is to actually watch yourself on video and turn the volume off and see, is it pleasing to watch? Do I feel like I'm communicating something or am I not? Whenever I'm working with communicators, sometimes I'll make them do about a 3-minute communication with no words. They have to do everything like charades and using their body language to say what their body language to be consistent with what their words are actually saying.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Following Jesus means freedom from sin, but it doesn't mean freedom from hardship. Well, imagine the hardship of being born without arms and legs. Nick Vujicic gave his life and his body to Jesus, a body with massive physical limitations, and God has used him to share the gospel with millions. Nick will share his incredible life story with us all weekend at all weekend services at Calvary Church on July 20th and 21st. Bring someone with and enjoy a special message from Nick Vujicic. And Vujicic, I don't want to say that too many times fast, Trish, but can you imagine being born without arms or legs and still accomplishing all this young man has accomplished? He is one of the great evangelists, young people we have in the world today.
Wow, yeah, that is amazing. What a gift.
Trish Porter Topmiller on the phone with us, and she has all her limbs, and she has proven to be a great athlete as a former United States Olympian. And Trish, are you still competing now? Are you still doing things athletically?
I am not. And actually, I do want to say, as an Olympian, our Olympic motto is never past, never former, once an Olympian, always an Olympian. So literally, we're announced as Olympians, not former.
Awesome. Nice to know.
No, I know. I just thought I'd let you know. I actually just had my hip replaced 11 weeks ago. So I am not high jumping anymore. But I am on the mend and getting back into at least, regular exercise and life. And so very thankful and grateful for that.
Trish Porter Topmiller, author of King Here. It's a story about Chuck King, her dad, and how he came to faith in the Lord and her relationship with him over a long time. Trish, how did you choose the title King Here?
My dad used to answer the phone, King Here, and he was very short. He didn't have a lot of words. He didn't like talking for a long time. And so it just came to me at night that would be perfect because it also has the double entendre, King Here. Maybe my dad saying, King Here, let me talk to you. But it's also God in heaven saying, King Here, let me talk to you. Listen, open mm-hmm. your ears, mm-hmm. listen.
Why do you care so much, Trish, about encouraging other people? Sounds like you've had a great life and you've moved through a lot of things in your own life. You've had some personal tragedy, though. Tell us a little bit about that.
The personal tragedy. On July 26, 2012, I was actually, my daughter, who was 11, Shannon, at the time, we were driving home to Albuquerque from Colorado Springs, and the Olympics were starting the next day. So I had a TV interview set up and some radio interviews because I often do that during the Olympics. And on my phone came, I saw Channel 13 was calling. And I thought, oh, they want another interview. Boy, it's going to be a busy few days. How fun. And when I answered the phone, I heard a woman say, can you please confirm that your husband, Pat Porter, and his plane went down in Sedona, Arizona?
Oh, my
goodness. And I you know, what do you do when somebody says something like that? I knew my my husband and my 15-year-old son and my son's really good friend, Connor Manch, were on the plane on a boys' trip in Sedona, and they were going to be coming home to see us. And that didn't happen. So they never came home from the boys' trip. On that moment, it changed my life forever. Half my family was gone. Both our guys, my husband of 20 years, my 15-year-old beautiful boy, were gone. And I, you know, I didn't know what to do. I stopped. I pulled over, got in the back of the car with Shannon, and we prayed. We prayed it wasn't true at first, you know, that they could be okay. But I knew, my husband and I had talked a lot about, airplane accidents and knew that there was seldom any survivors. So at that moment, our world changed. They were our laughter. I had to
tell me where you were faith wise before and after all of this, these events took place.
Where my faith was?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Were you a Christian before these issues happened? How did you come to faith? It sounds like you did that fairly early in life, whereas your dad did it late in life.
Yeah. I was 18 years old. I had just graduated from high school. I had been dating my track coach back then, who was 5 years older than me. So not a good thing. And I wasn't going to go to college. I had qualified for state in high school, the high jump, all 4 years. I was Northern California Athlete of the Year, and I had no scholarship offers. And so I wasn't going to go to college, and I ended up after graduation, right before school, I broke up with my boyfriend and didn't know what to do with my life, didn't know where I was going. And so I went to see my aunt and uncle. They were out in the couple hours outside of, in California, away in this little 500 square foot cabin with a river by it. And, they had been praying for me for years. And really, I look back, I had had several people praying for me for years. And that was huge. I think that was the integral part, because at that time then, I'm out in the woods, not knowing what to do. And that night I just looked up and said, God, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. I'm making bad choices. You know, help me. And the next day, my aunt and uncle were talking to me, and they started sharing about Jesus. And they were, you know, talking about his love for me and his forgiveness of sins. And they said, well, you know, would you like to pray to receive Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I actually did that last night. I prayed to God last night. And so then we all prayed together. And at that point, I asked Jesus to come into my life and, you know, to take over and to be my Savior. And he did, and he has been faithful ever since. So before the accident, I had a strong faith, but really, to me, your faith is so tested in the fire. And there are two ways. When you have the death of half your family, who to me, they were my whole life, really, other than my daughter. When you have that, that's where you have a fork in the road. What do I choose? Do I choose to curl up in a ball every day? Do I choose to be angry? Do I choose to be bitter? Or do I choose to trust God? And I had a girlfriend who said, you know, Trish, life is always going to bring you troubles. And if you take kind of your left hand and you bring it up in the air, like, you know, like you're going to pray, and then your right hand is moving all over. Life is crazy and it moves all over. But if you can bring that right hand up into a sign of prayer and just say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And cling to that each day. That's how it got me through. And I just stood on that, you know, day in and day out is, God, I trust you. I know you love me. I know you have a plan for me. And I trust you.
Well, and you've gone from great personal tragedy to actually writing a book called King Here. Never too old, too rich, or too anything to meet Jesus. Trish Porter Topmiller is our guest today on KNKT's ABQ Connect. And Trish, I'm fascinated by the story. And let's go back now to your dad. How does your family feel about you openly sharing about Chuck, your dad's success, and some of his challenges in life?
Wow, that's interesting that you asked that. It was probably my biggest challenge with writing the book to overcome. My dad was a pretty private man. No, let me rephrase that. My dad was a very private man. And so my brothers or my family kind of come from that angle. And for me, I was really convicted that dad on earth was private, but dad in heaven would say, share this story. It's going to impact lives and help others. And that's really what I've clung to. So my brothers, they read it and had to several times, and I made lots of changes as a result of their feedback. So I took out, things that, could make it actually sound a little bigger and better maybe, but, I wanted to really respect them. And then lots of the changes I made it, I liked. They added a lot of depth to the book and a different angle. And so I was really pleased with how that came out. So one of my brothers said, he really appreciated all the stories being put, being written. Because really, in the end, this is our family heritage and history and the story of a man who's going to affect many generations to come in his life. And so I have to be really sensitive to them and be sensitive with what I say. And I'm thankful that, they've allowed me to write the book, in essence.
Well, the book is really a blessing. King Here by Trish Porter Topmiller. We're going to have more with Trish right after these messages. Stay with us here on KNKT.
G'day to you, it's Joel and Luke here from the band for King Country with some thrilling news.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships of the World Tour in Albuquerque, New Mexico on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
It's going to be quite a night of music and stories. It's just going to be you and us. We'll be taking the stage at the top of the show. And in honor of Burn the Ships, the production design will be inspired by the bow of a ship, making it the most elaborate but intimate night you've experienced with us yet.
And we'll also be playing more music than ever before. Every song from our latest album. God only knows what you've been through. As well as many of your favorites, such as Fix My Eyes and Priceless. Fix my
eyes. So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
Join us October 19th at Tingley Coliseum. Reserve your seats right now at forkeencountry.com.
I'm Johnny Erickson Todd, and you know that old saying, let go and let God? Well, it raises a good question. Do we yield to God's power, making no effort on our own? Or do we roll up our sleeves and get to work, hoping God will chip in? Exactly who is supposed to be doing the work? Well, consider Exodus 14, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and stopped at the Red Sea with Pharaoh in hot pursuit. He told the people to stand still. The Lord would deliver them. But the Lord replied, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff. Divide the water so the Israelites can go through." Now true, the Lord did deliver them, but he accomplished his will as the Israelites exercised faith and action. So, letting go and letting God is only half the battle. Today, act on the other half of that old saying, get up and get going in the power of God, and just watch what he will accomplish.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
And welcome back into the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect. On the phone with Trish Porter Topmiller, the author of King Here, an Olympian, a senior athlete, and now working through rehabilitating a hip replacement. So, Trish, a lot of physical stuff you've done to your body over the years. What kind of stuff do you do now to stay healthy?
Oh, I do a lot to stay healthy. I'm just very grateful that I'm able to. So I strength train regularly, usually three times a week. Right now I'm doing Pilates with my hips. I hike. I play tennis. I go on walks. I do cardio equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot. And then I do massage, chiropractor, and right now physical therapy since I'm dealing with my hip.
Yeah.
So. It's a lot of work. Staying healthy is a lot of work. We have to really you know, make that a priority, because the one thing you can't get back is your health.
When you were younger going to school, were you a pretty good student, or were you distracted by wanting to get out there and do athletic things?
Oh, I wanted to do sports. So school was a necessary evil, I guess I should say. I shouldn't say that word, but it is true. But I was a good student. I was a good student. I wasn't a great student, but I did well. But yeah, it was really about the sports. I was a three sports in high school. So I did diving and swimming with soccer and then track and field.
You know, Trish, and this is totally off the subject, what we're talking about your book, King, here, but I want to ask you this. I notice in the literature that with females playing basketball and soccer, there almost seems to be an epidemic of knee injuries. Is that something that's discussed among young women, doctors? I mean, I don't see much coming out in current literature about how to prevent those kind of injuries.
Well, it's discussed among, to me, the parents and the coaches and the athletes, at least in our world, in my daughter's world, for figure skating. She strength trains regularly, and they do lots of work to strengthen the muscles around the knee, to keep the mobility and to keep mobility within your ankles and your hip. Although,
yep.
So it is. It's hard. And with the soccer, you have impact injury, so that's difficult. With basketball, you also do have impact too, but you have the lateral movements, the sudden movements. So you've got to really train for those specific movements too. And if you've got a good coach, the kids should be doing that.
They should be doing that kind of training. Well, back to your book, King Here, by Trish Porter Topmiller. Again, if you're just joining us this afternoon, Trish is an Olympian. She was a high jumper in the Olympics, and she had a great life with her dad, who was a very wealthy guy, very successful in business, had some challenges of life. And tell us what you think really brought him to his knees and allowed him to see Jesus.
Well, I think, as I mentioned in the beginning, it was like a puzzle. For me, it seemed impossible that he could ever have a faith in Jesus. That when I read the Bible verse about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, it kind of took my breath away, because I felt like that was so true, because he had no need for God. There was no need, no desire to go to church, no desire to talk about it. I would try to talk about it, and it just, he would humor me, but there was no need. And so really it was a series of tragic events. He didn't have money his whole life. He didn't get money until later in his life, until I was grown and gone and married, that kind of thing. But he had a series of tragic losses. So first, in 2008, he lost almost all of his money.
Oh.
So that was huge for him. Yeah. And it was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot. Most people would be responsible and take maybe part of the money and put it away, you know, in something safe and, mm-hmm. and simple. But he had not done that. He had risked it all, and he lost like 97% of it. And then with that, the next step was, I think he got so depressed, he said he started having back pain, and somehow he started taking OxyContin and oxycodone, so an opioid. And mm-hmm. he got addicted to the opioids, and so was really on those for at least nine years. And then, so he lost his money, he lost his health, and then he lost my husband and son, Pat and Connor, so his grandson. And dad didn't handle grief and dying very well. And so that was really hard for him. And he was very close to Connor. They did a lot of fun things together. My dad sent him a little note that said, "Here, Connor, I've sent you these, you know, I went searching for the best chocolate poos I can find. You know, let me know when you eat them, you know, how good they are." And mm-hmm. yes, I said chocolate poos, bear poos. So, you know, that was his sense of humor. And he took him shooting. So he would take him shooting. And matter of fact, one time when they went shooting, it was like 90 degrees outside, and his 25-year-old Porsches, the heater was stuck on full blast. And so they drove the whole way with the heater on them in the 85 or 90 degrees to go shooting.
Wow.
But so here, and then he was also close to my husband, Pat. Those two had a lot in common. They enjoyed talking about guns and fast cars and flying. So he lost them. And then he ended up losing his wife. His wife was 20 years younger than Debbie. So the love of his life, they had been married 20 years. And she too had been addicted to the opioids for a period of time. She did get cleaned up for a period of time, so that was good. So then he lost his wife, and that was really difficult for him. And he didn't know what to do with that. And then with all those losses and not working, he felt like he had no purpose. Mm-hmm. And he had no hope. And I think if a person has no purpose and no hope, they don't know where to go. And so those were the tragic pieces that I look back and, you know, as we were going through them, it's like, okay, this is so terrible. But then it brought him to a place where I think he was willing to search. He started, you know, I'm getting at the end of my life, you know, what is important? Or, you know, I don't know the questions that he asked himself, but my brothers had always over the years asked them to go to church. I had asked them to go to church. And one day he finally did. One day he said, yes. So people, you've asked people to church 100 times. Well, first time that they finally agreed to say, and he had so many people praying for him over the years, me over 30, 40 years. And then it turned out to my dad's 80th birthday or 80, yeah, birthday. And, 82nd day, and we were going to stay with him. My new husband, James, and I said, James, you need to share credit card. He was a businessman. He had lost his wife. Tragically. And so he was like, wow. So my dad really for years and years, because of the opioid use, he would sleep till he'd sleep like 22 hours a day, 21, 22 hours a day.
Wow.
So he'd get out of bed sometimes at 2 o'clock and he'd be back into bed very shortly. So he wasn't living life at all. He was just sleeping it away in a drug induced state. So here's this man who used to be so high energy, right? Who used these challenges and snow skiing and water skiing and then here he is in a bat cave, right? Was all dark all day long, all the time. And, wow. And that's really why he felt like he had no purpose.
Yeah.
But then, so God brought people into his life. He, you know, my brother brought him to church, and then there, the coolest thing, there in the front row was our angel. His name was Michael, which is really interesting. His name was Michael.
Uh-huh.
And he was there in the front row, raising his hands, praising God, singing out loud, moving his whole body in a church that was fairly conservative. And my dad was inexplicably drawn to him.
That's really neat.
It made no sense at all, but he was drawn to him. And so he would call my brother up in the middle of the week and say, are you going to church this week? And I want to get there early because I want to sit with Michael, my friend, and near Michael. And my dad was never early for anything in his life. He lived on we called it King Standard Time, mm-hmm. which was 2 hours late. And so for him to all of a sudden be wanting to be somewhere early and be drawn, it was unexplainable.
Well, Trish, this is Trish Porter Topmiller on the phone with us, Jim Williams in studio with ABQ Connect. She has written a book called King Here. Obviously a compelling story. We want to hear more about it, Trish. We got to take another break real quick to allow our sponsors some time on the air, and we appreciate them so much. And we appreciate your time, too, because I know you're waiting to hear about Shannon's injury. So thank you so much for being here, and I hope you can spend a couple more segments with us.
Yes, definitely.
All right, ABQ Connect.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. But if you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Guys, don't you just love men's conferences? The worship, fellowship, and encouragement. Register now for the one-day men's conference called Abound. It's Saturday, June 29th at Cross Christian Fellowship. Be challenged by speakers Ray Jaramillo, Mike Lycona, Scott Tom, and others. Chip.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
People have always been fascinated with forecasting the future. From physics to horoscopes, it's easy to find someone willing to tell and their prediction of what's ahead. But only God knows what the future holds. And we want to give you an exciting glimpse into his plans for your future and the end times. When you give today, we'll send you three incredible resources. Skip's exclusive interview with biblical prophecy expert Joel Rosenberg and a recent teaching from Joel. Plus, Skip's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Listen in as Skip and Joel Rosenberg discuss eye-opening developments in the Middle East.
We are both the most endangered country in the world, Israel is, and feeling more secure than ever in human history. That's a conundrum.
And dive into the Book of Revelation with Pastor Skip to make sense of what the Bible says about end-time events. Get your copies of these insightful resources when you give today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Trish Porter Topmiller on the phone, the author of King Here, former Olympian, tenacious and persistent, relentless mom, dad, or mom, wife, sister, daughter. And we appreciate you being on here. I know you had to act as a dad a little bit after the tragic events with your husband and your son. That probably had to be just an incredible thing. And the fact that you're willing to share this book with us and be an encouragement to people, you've already talked about your dad's opioid addiction. And I know there's people listening, Trish, that are faced with just difficulties. And, you know, in some way, I know as a former athlete myself, not to your level, but I know that just going to practice every day was difficult, and having the discipline to go through that. And really the purpose of all of that really is God training us how to have endurance and how to trust him and how to go through difficulties. But the things that God has brought you through are something else. Would you mind if I ask you about some chapters in your book? First of all, do you have a favorite chapter that you really point to in the book as your favorite thing that you said in the book?
Oh. Wow. I think maybe that's hard, because I love the whole thing. I love each piece. And I do love the story about, you know, me meeting my new husband now, James. So that part is really special and sweet to me. But I love the adventure stories with my dad, because to me that's the positive part of my dad, that all of those great memories that we as a family have are just really sweet and special.
Well, and tell us how's James participating in all of this? When you told him he's the one that has to share his faith with your dad, how did he react to that?
So he said, well, you know, how do you know it's me? What do you mean it's me? God has to really, you know, open a door, provide an opening for me. He looked at me and he said, if God provides an opening, my prayer is that I'll be ready to step through it. And so we as a Bible study came around him and prayed for the opening and prayed that he could step through it. And so then we go to, when we go to stay with him, and usually I had not stayed with him in a lot of years, just because I couldn't handle the opioid addiction aspect with him. I couldn't handle him being so deteriorated and being everything that he used to not be, and to say he was against. Here he was. He wasn't living life. And that was really, really hard for all of us. and it affected all of us. And so Shannon had to skate early in the morning. Usually Shannon, when we went to California, skated at really 6 o'clock in the morning. And this time, for some reason, she didn't have to skate till a little later, till I think it was 9 o'clock. And so Shannon and I left and went skating. And James said, I'm going to do my Bible study in the kitchen. And so he laid out his Bible and his study. He goes through a little book that he goes through regularly. And he had breakfast, got breakfast for himself. And he even got some breakfast that dad's caretaker, Beth Ann, had gotten ready the night before for my dad. And he set that out, hoping that my dad would actually get out of bed in the morning. And lo and behold, he did. Because he had been, because of Beth Ann, our other godsend, he had been getting up a little bit earlier. She had been trying to wean him from the opioids. Mm-hmm. And so Dad got up and he came into the kitchen and James asked him to join him for breakfast. And so he sat down and then James just simply said, you know, I'm doing my Bible study. Have you ever studied the Bible before? And my dad said no. And James talked about, you know, the impact that the Bible has had in his life. Wow. And so he talked about that for a few minutes. And then he started asking my dad some questions. And one of the first ones was, you know, if you were to go to heaven today, and be at the pearly gates and they said, why should we let you in? What would you say? And my dad said, well, I've been a good person, you know, my whole life, and I've donated money. And from there, James started talking that, you know, God's standard is perfection. And so being good enough, who's good enough? And he said, you know, we've all have sinned. You know, Chuck, have you ever told a lie before? Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, yeah, I've lied. You know, so we've all sinned. And so he starts, sharing about the sin separating my dad from heaven, from Jesus. And then he said, you know, where do you think your wife is? And my dad said, oh, Debbie's definitely in heaven, which I firmly believe that she is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you want to see her someday? And my dad's like, oh yeah, definitely. I want to see her someday. And so he started just sharing the principles of, since God's standard is perfection, only perfect people can get there and we can't. But thankfully God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And to rise again. And if we accept him and believe him, then in him, and he becomes our, and he's our savior, then we can have everlasting life and be in heaven with him. And he said, would you like that, Chuck? Would you like to pray to receive Jesus? And my dad hesitated. And so James kept going and started asking him more questions. And then he starts having him talk about Debbie. And this is where James, I think, is such a gift, because most people, other than myself, my dad would be in pain and crying, and he'd say, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. Well, I understood his pain and his loss, but James understood too. So James could empathize with him and know that, you know, wow, yeah, Debbie sounded like a great wife, and how sad that you lost her. I know your pain. And just continued to let my dad talk. And so James was taking that door that God opened, he walked through. And then a few minutes later, again, he asked my dad, he said, Chuck, you know, would you like to ask Jesus to come into your life? And my dad said, yes.
Wow.
He said, yes. And I know, I was like, wow. And so they prayed together. James actually had a prayer that he already had printed out, and he gave that prayer to my dad. So they prayed and asked Jesus to come into his life. And that moment, I believe he was changed. He may not have changed like we go, okay, we would want him to now start, you know, reading his Bible daily and going to Bible study and having hope and being off the medications and all of those things that you and I think what salvation looks like to us. But this was an 82-year-old man who never shared anything, you know, very personal about or intimate about his life, because that was that generation. But he read his Bible. We got him a Bible, and we highlighted our favorite verses, and we put sticky notes on them for him. And so we found it open on his bed. My brother and the caretaker found it open and being moved in different places. So we know he was reading his Bible. And then he would go to church by himself. Mm-hmm. And which is a little scary, because remember, he was on medication.
Mm-hmm.
So really didn't drive himself much. And but he took himself. He got himself dressed. He got himself up. He got himself dressed. And he went to church all by himself, which I think was huge. And then in the very end, one day my brother and sister-in-law took him to church, and they were sitting behind Michael, the angel who was worshiping the Lord with his hands. And my dad raises his hands during a song and starts singing and waving his hands and body, worshiping the Lord. And he looked over at my sister-in-law like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, you know, wow. And just continued.
Awesome.
And for me, the all of those little events, they may not have been huge, but they did add up to some change in his life.
Compelling story. King Hear, never too old, too rich, or too anything to meet Jesus. Trish Porter Topmiller, the author, she's on the phone with us this afternoon. And Trish, I just know because of the emotion in your voice that you loved your dad, and you love the fact that Jesus brought him to faith. And it's an amazing story, and we hope that people will go out and get the book. I noticed from your promotional materials, your book is primarily available on Amazon, and people can just...
And Barnes & Noble.
And Barnes & Noble, okay. Yes. So, and the book, again, is King Hear. Trish Porter Topmiller is the author. And Trish, we're going to have another little bit of time with you. And when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about another chapter. And that chapter is kind of your definition of character. Or if I can, you have little subtitles to each of your chapters that were Chuckisms, things that your dad used to say. So when we come back from these messages, I want to ask you about that. You have a little bit more time to spend with us?
I sure do.
All right. Thanks for being here, and we are really glad that you're listening here on KNKT. This is ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. There is nothing like seeing an old classic car completely restored, except seeing an old classic car that's been kept like new by its owner since the day they bought it. Our lives are like that. Yes, God can restore us, and He does, but He also maintains those who belong to Him. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we will maintain your vehicle and restore your vehicle after those unfortunate breakdowns. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA Approved, and free towing with repairs. Just call for details. We are located in Rio Rancho at 2300 Southern Boulevard, on the corner of Southern Boulevard and Western Hills, across the street from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And for maintaining your life and soul, or if you need to be completely restored to new, Jesus is the master of all, and He is only a breath away. Please call out to Him.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
When you communicate what you want to do, if you're stepping back, you're communicating fear or a lack of confidence. If you're leaning forward, you're communicating a sense of authority and confidence in your communication. A big thought is this: you want to speak appropriately for the size of the crowd. For example, right now, we're kind of like one-on-one, and so I'm not raising my voice, I'm not going crazy. If you're at a table with three people, you want to be conversational. If you're in a room with 100 people, you're going to want to have a little more action because it demands it. If I'm in a stadium of 20,000 people, I'm going to be going, you know, being really enthusiastic and using my body body language in a more extreme way to help me communicate the point. So what you want to do is you want to speak appropriately for the size of the crowd.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams in studio with you, talking on the phone to Trish Porter Topmiller, the author of King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. Trish, you share about your dad, Chuck. You also share about your personal tragedy and amazing joy about trusting God in the midst of all of these challenges. So we're blessed by your book. You mentioned earlier that your dad was really not afraid of anything, and he would just kind of go for it. Do you have, does fear play a role in your life? You have to be a pretty much go-for-it person to being an Olympian and accomplishing all you have accomplished.
Well, I try not to live in fear, but I do have moments of fear, so there's a big difference. I think the fear, you know, escalated probably since Pat and Connor's death. So I have, you know, the fear of losing Shannon or now James, or other family members. But again, I don't live there. And then I also have, you know, the fear of people that I know and love, if they don't know the Lord and don't know Jesus, of that, at the end of their lives. So that's a concern, but more of a concern. But really, to me, I have to make a conscious choice to not, be fearful. So whether it be through listening to music, Christian music, listening, or reading scripture, through prayer, those for me, I have to make a definite choice, to choose life and not fear, because fear can be paralyzing. And fear is not from the Lord. Fear to me is from the enemy. And so, God says, you know, do not fear, for I am near. And so he is with me. And so I try to cling to that and cling to that trust and not let it become overwhelming.
Yes. To share with us what you call a Chuckism.
So a Chuckism. I grew up with Chuckisms. My dad would tell everybody all sorts of words of wisdom. So he kept a little, back then we had a little day planner that was the size of, I don't know, maybe 3 by 5, 3 by 6. And he would write if he heard inspirational sayings, or if he heard a talk, a motivational speaker, he'd write down, you know, quotes that he liked. And so he had one for every year. So we had years and years of these, and we could put them all together, two different periods of time. And so the Chuckisms, he would kind of often, he wouldn't get the quote right typically. So it'd be a part of a quote. And so those became Chuckisms, those and also just the motivational quotes. So he would tell me something and you've heard this same quote so many times, you kind of roll your eyes and say, yeah, I know. But really they were very motivating. And for me, one of my favorites that I had was, I was competing in state championships in high school. And before I went to the competition, my dad typed out for me, I'm guessing he probably had his secretary type it out, really. But on a little piece of paper, it said, dream and go after that dream with sweat and commitment. Mm-hmm. So in my relentlessness, that was what I carried with me for years and years, was that saying, if I have a dream, go after that dream with sweat and commitment. And that means you got to work hard and you have to persevere and you're going to have hard times and you're going to have difficulties. But, you know, to keep going, to keep getting back up.
From your
I love Chuckism.
Yeah. So here's one that I want to read. And of course, I just want our audience to be a little bit more familiar with the book. You have a chapter called The Camel Can't Fit, and the Chuckism to start the chapter is the definition of character, doing what is right when nobody is looking.
Yeah. That's, to me, I try living our life that way because really God is always looking. God knows, God sees. So we think we can hide something from him, right? We think he's not watching, or you think he doesn't know. He does. And so really you want to do, what's right and make the good choices, each day in life. I mean, I really have tried to impart that, with my daughter. Now, and that's tough talking to your teenagers, getting them to make good choices and to say, you may think I don't know, but Jesus does see you. And frankly, Jesus is going to let me know.
Right.
So, that's been my prayer and, God is faithful with that. So, I think it's a great just way of life. That one, if more people would live even by that, our world would be a better place.
Trish, what do you have to say to somebody that, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, they may be taking opioids and they have lost their purpose. They have maybe even incapacitated themselves so they can't even think clearly. What do you have to say to their families? What do you have to say to them that might encourage them today if somebody's listening?
Wow. So for the families, I would say don't give up. Be relentless in pursuing trying to help them, whether it be an intervention, whether it be getting in a support group for yourself, whether it be having tough love. Sometimes you have to have tough love if it's somebody with younger ones. But to keep praying and get as many people as you can praying too. Don't be ashamed because this is an epidemic right now. You can't open the newspaper today without reading about the opioid use in our country. And it doesn't affect just young children. It's affecting the aging population too. And so it's not something to be ashamed of because really it's a mental illness. So we need to have compassion. And we need to try to understand and to know that, some people, can't help it, but for those who are addicted, I want to say you are affecting so many lives.
So
you think you are so many people that love you, and there are so many people that want you to be healthy and that you are missing so much in life, and that God loves you and he has made you for a purpose. He has made you for a purpose, and the purpose is not the addiction. So to do something, check yourself in somewhere, get healed, get help. That you can do it. You're not alone. And as far as not someone who doesn't have hope or feel like they have a purpose, there is so much in life that you can do still. You may not think it, but there is. There are so many people and places to volunteer. There are so many people who need mentors or who need people to help them that maybe you have children or grandchildren, your grandchildren. What kind of impact do you want to have on your grandchildren? That's a huge point is what kind of impact you want to have on them?
Amen.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Amen. Trish Porter, Topmiller, King Here is the book. Trish, thank you so much. You've blessed us today in this great hour. Sorry it's gone by so quickly. We hope you'll let us know how Shannon is doing. God bless everybody. Have a great afternoon.
ABQ Connect is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.